Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you have an eternal purpose in our gathering today. When you broke through time and space, Lord Jesus, you changed the world forever. As somebody said, that baby changed everything. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that today, because we live on the other side of the resurrection, we have a new life. Lord, we have the privilege of access to the throne of God. We have the privilege today, Lord, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord. We have a brand new heart, Lord, and we have a holy purpose for living. We are so grateful today. Bless this word now to our hearts. Anoint us, Lord, to serve and to declare the kingdom of God come and the will of God be done. Somebody agree with me. Amen. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here at Catalyst as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. I believe that one of the central messages of Christmas and the Bible itself is the message, fear not. Fear not, or do not be afraid. I'd like to develop this a little bit with you this morning and maybe into next week. We'll see how it goes. But let's start at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. Luke chapter 2, very familiar passage about the shepherds having the angelic visitation and the announcement of Christ's birth. You have to picture these lowly shepherds who were in the social scale considered like real entry-level, blue-collar type of guys. And they really were kind of looked down at in a lot of ways. Back then, they were social outcasts. So God chose social outcasts who were working the night shift, no less. Working the night shift, sitting up all night on this hillside in Jerusalem and in Judea, Bethlehem, watching their sheep. It goes to show you that, first of all, God can surprise you. Somebody say amen. Amen. How many of you know God can surprise you? Amen. Just when you think you've got God in a box, don't do it. Because God will break your box. He'll shatter the box. These guys thought everything was cool and just another night on the hillside in Bethlehem. But here is what happened. And they were in the same country, shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. That's good King James English, meaning they were terrified. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This was a pretty big deal. This announcement was an angelic announcement, unique in history. God broke into our world from heaven, came down to earth. Yes. Anytime heaven comes down to earth through the gospel and through the life and mercy of Jesus, we learn it's a good thing. Yes. When God comes into your world, and if you're willing to look for him, it's a good thing. Because where there's dysfunction, he'll make things functional. Where there's pain, he'll bring healing. Hallelujah. Where there's been alienation, God will bring reconciliation. Hallelujah. Where there's been brokenness, God will bring wholeness. So I almost want to call this message heaven invading earth, or heaven coming down to earth. But I want to focus specifically on the fear nots in the story of Christmas. You know, we live in a world that is increasingly filled with fear and anxiety. You can go online and look up all these sites, and you'll find how the scale is going higher and higher in terms of people's anxiety, more people being beset by fear, even young people. I want you to see the survey that was done back in 1986, a survey by researchers at Johns Hopkins University on the greatest fears in grade school children. This was back in 1986, elementary school children. The five greatest fears: loud noises, high places, being in the dark, strangers, fear of animals. Doesn't sound too bad, right? Fast forward to 2000 and what are we now? 2018. A more recent report suggests the same group of children, elementary age children. Here's what they're afraid of now: being physically attacked, cancer, war, divorce, pollution. Wow, what a different world from 1986 to 2018. And then there's adults. I did some survey and some research on adults that have dominant fears in their life all around the world, not just in the U.S., but all around the world. One of the dominant fears that people face is loneliness. People are afraid of being alone in life. Another one is not being adequate, a fear of being a coward. That's way up on the scale. It's surprising, right? That somehow I'm going to be, in a place of responsibility, whether it's a dad or whether it's on the job or whether a girlfriend, a boyfriend, and somehow I'm going to fall flat on my face. I guess you could call it a fear of failure. Way up there. Found inadequate. This is a new one that's on the scale. Corrupt government. People are afraid of the government. Social anxiety. People are afraid of being with people. They don't know how to act. And I'll just mention one other. There are many, but these are the top that I felt were very relevant. Not having enough money. Fear of falling short, not having enough money. The Bible says in the last days, men's hearts will grow more and more fearful for the things that are coming on the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And yet the message of the Bible rings true today as it did 2,000 years ago. God has a heavenly announcement for us this morning. Fear not. Fear not. I've got you. Fear not. Everything is under control. Fear not. My intention for you is good. Hallelujah. For in all things, God is working for the good of those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. You may feel like you've lost sight of God, but I'm here to tell you this morning, God has not lost sight of you. Hallelujah. He knows exactly where you live. Hallelujah. He knows your address. He knows what's going on. He knows your thoughts when you rise up in the morning. He knows what you're thinking about in the middle of the night when you can't sleep. Come on now, somebody say amen. God cares for us. No wonder Peter said, cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Amen. The fear not of God is a welcome and central part of the message of the Bible. And it is so powerful for this moment. In this present darkness that we live, in this world that still has darkness all around it, his light shines for those who are willing to look for him. And when you compare the world that we live in to the world that Christ came, there was actually worse back then. You might say, how is that? Well, let me give you just three reasons. Number one, the word of God had not been heard for four centuries. There was this period of approximately 400 years where there was no revelation, no prophets speaking, nothing happening in the spiritual realm. There was just as one rabbi wrote in those days, he wrote, there was a profound sense of the absence of God. That's the world that Christ came into. That's the time period that he came into. No prophet had arisen in 400 years. The people were living in spiritual darkness. Number two, the people of God were under the oppressive rule of Rome. Rome, not only was there no spiritual revelation going on, there wasn't any revival. You could go to, synagogue, or you could go to the temple, but it was just religion. It was just same old, same old. Right. Besides that, Rome had crushed Israel and was ruling. There were Roman soldiers policing the streets of Jerusalem, reminding the Jews that they were not free. Right. Thankfully, we haven't gotten to that place in this country. Somebody say amen. And third, and these are just a brief overview. Third, the nation of Israel was deeply divided politically in the time of Christ's coming. There were four political factions, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, and the Zealots. They were all vying for power in Jerusalem at the time of Christ. There were constant riots. There was tension. There were people that were revolutionaries that wanted to overthrow the Roman government, the Zealots. And there was all kinds of tension. Anytime there was an occurrence of like a disruption, the army, the Roman army would rush to the scene and crush the rebellion. None of this caught God, however, by surprise. Because when Jesus began his ministry in the book of Matthew, Matthew says, "In the land of Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." And so the Christmas message is, there is joy, there is light, there is peace, there is hope. Fear not. Turn to your neighbor and say, fear not. None of this surprises God. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Gloria. I appreciate that. I said, none of this surprises God. Yes. Jesus entered a human body, a human birth, in order to give us a spiritual birth. Jesus occupied a stable that we someday would occupy a mansion. Jesus had an earthly mother so that someday we would know we have a heavenly Father. Jesus became subject to the human body so that we might be free of this flesh. Jesus left his glory to give us glory. Hallelujah. Jesus was poor, so as Pastor Angela mentioned, so that we might be made rich. He was welcomed by shepherds at his birth so that one day we could be welcomed by the angels of glory. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that he came? Aren't you glad that he came? My father-in-law, bless his heart, he used to love to preach this message, and he would say, not only was Christ born in Bethlehem's stable, but he was born in my heart. Hallelujah. How many of you are glad that Christ was born in your heart? Thank you, Jesus. His coming to the earth signals the beginning of the end of the domination of darkness over the world. God says, that's it. I'm going to do something here. I'm stepping up. I'm going to step out. Jesus said, I'm going to leave aside my divine prerogatives, and I'm going to fulfill the mission that God gave me. Amen. And because that baby grew up and completed the mission of his heavenly Father, we now live after the resurrection of Christ, where every evil power, every principality is subject to the name and the authority of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11 says, therefore God has exalted Jesus to the highest place and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. His coming to the earth changed everything. Hallelujah. We have hope in Christ. We also have authority in Christ. Aren't you glad today that you are not left here to fend for yourself? Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, the 70 returned to Jesus and they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Watch this. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Hallelujah. God is good and he will always be good. God is greater than darkness and he will always be greater than darkness. God has adopted you. If you're a believer today, God has adopted you into his family, and no demon in hell could ever take that away from you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He cares for you this morning. God spoke to my heart this week as I was preparing and said, let the people know how much I care for them. Let the people know that I'm involved. I want to be involved in their life. Aren't you glad this morning? Hallelujah. with Christ in us, we can push back evil. Now we become part of the solution. Before, we were part of the problem. For the wages of sin is death. And we were bound by sin. But now that the blood of Christ has been shed and we have put our faith in Christ's sacrifice, we are now the redeemed of the Lord. Hallelujah. We are raised. We are ascended. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all powers and principality and every name that is named. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. We have authority in His name. Hallelujah. Our authority is not to show off. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. But our authority is to let the devil know that he is defeated. Hallelujah. Amen. And that he is a liar. Yes, that's right. And that God will not let me go. God will not let me go. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, but there's somebody that needs to hear this. Stop being afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not fear. God has a good plan. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 1:7, for the spirit God gave us does not make us timid. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind or self-discipline. The phrase fear not appears over 100 times in the Bible. Either fear not or do not be afraid or be not afraid. Combination of those phrases appears over 100 times in the Bible. You think that we may be dealing with fear? If God has to keep saying, fear not, fear not, fear not, it's because we have an issue with fear. And there's so much we can learn in the Christmas story about God's heart towards us and God's plan. Hallelujah. I love what it says in Jeremiah 29, for I know that plans I have for you, says the Lord. Good plans, not to harm you, but to give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. What do we learn in the Christmas story in the fear nots? I'm going to take just four of the fear nots in the Christmas story and show you some lessons that we learn from the main characters of the Bible in the story. First of all, Zechariah, who is the father of John the Baptist. Everybody knows Zechariah, right? When Zechariah was told that he was going to be the father of John the Baptist, there were several problems with this. First of all, he and his wife were infertile. They hadn't had any children. They couldn't have children. And they were both pretty advanced in years. They couldn't say, like I say, I'm not that old. Because they really were old. But nevertheless, the angel appeared while Zechariah was in the temple offering his incense and so on. The angel says to Zechariah after he first was freaking out, because usually when you see an angel, it just scares you, right? I mean, if you ever saw a 9 or 10 foot angel glistening white, you know, and just like glowing like fluorescent or whatever, I don't know how God does it, but every case where an angel show up, people either fall prostrate on their face, or they're shaking, or they're trembling, or like in Daniel's case, they fainted, they pass out. So you don't want to trivialize God. Somebody say amen right now. You know, an angel of God is a big deal. So Zechariah is trembling in fear, and the angel says to him in Luke 1:13, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. Now, there probably were many other prayers that were on Jeremiah because he was on Zechariah's mind, because he was supposed to be as the priest, and it was his turn to go into the holy place to offer the sacrifice to represent the people. So he wasn't supposed to just go in there for himself. So he probably had other petitions like the sins of Israel. Where my people, Lord, have fallen short. Lord, we've messed up. God, please. The Roman oppression. Lord, this is hard. This is difficult. I can't imagine what was going through his mind. But the angel is very specific. And he says, your prayer, singular, has been answered. The prayer that has been on your heart for these 30, 40, 50 years has been answered. Somebody say amen. Amen. God saw something in Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth that perhaps he didn't even want to talk about anymore. Maybe it was just hidden in his heart. But one thing we know, God didn't forget about him. Hallelujah. God saw the prayer that nobody else perhaps was thinking about anymore in his life. What it says to me is that God hears your prayer. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's timing is perfect. In his time, he makes all things beautiful. In his time. Hallelujah. And so finally John is born, and then they were asking Zechariah, what's the name? What do we name him? Should we call him Zechariah? And he gets a writing tablet because he can't speak. And he says, no, his name is John. And as soon as he writes that, whoop, his mouth opens and he begins to praise the Lord. And he begins to prophesy. And he prophesied. This is just a part of his prophecy. He says, here's what he says. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. This was a sign to Zechariah not to be afraid of the enemies. Are you getting something here? We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear. Everybody say, without fear. In righteousness and holiness for as long as we live. So the fear not that was spoken to Zechariah redounded and was declared as a fear not for the whole people of Israel. It was a sign to him. And what this says to me is when God blesses you, it's so that you can bless others. Your testimony will be broadcast. Hallelujah. Are you getting this morning? Your testimony will be a platform for your ministry. Your testimony will be a blessing to somebody else. It will be a point of contact as we pray sometimes on Wednesday night, right? It will be a point of contact for somebody else. So here was this man who initially didn't know how God was going to do this. And now he's declaring, God, we're going to be able to serve you without fear. Hallelujah. So what I learned from this is, don't fear. God is hearing your prayers. In the fullness of time, Christ was born. In the fullness of time. You don't know why that door closed to you many years ago. But now you're beginning to see why God said no back then so he could say yes now. Because God is always interested in giving you the best. Hallelujah. Not the Ishmael. He wants to give you the Isaac. Hallelujah. He wants to give you the Isaac. Hallelujah. What do we learn from Mary, who also heard a fear not? The angel appears to her in Luke chapter 1. I'm just going to read two verses, Luke 1, verse 30 and 37. But the angel said to Mary, do not be afraid. Again, you can imagine how shook up a little teenager would be at seeing an angel appear in her house. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And then he explains later that he will save his people from their sins. Because the word Jesus or Yeshua means Joshua. It's Joshua, God saves. Aren't you glad God still saves? Amen. And then drop down to verse 37, the angel says this to her, no word from God will ever fail. Do you have a word from God this morning? Do you have a word from God that he won't let you go? Do you have a word from God that if things get tough, God will still be there? Do you have a word from God that he will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear? But with the temptation will allow a way of escape. If you have a word of God this morning from God, that word will not fail. Do not fear. Hallelujah. Do not fear. The word of God will not fail. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth may pass away. But God says, my word will never pass away. And it's not because of how good we are, how great we are, how slick we are. It's all because he set his love on us. You know, I've often explained even the existence of this church is probably, it cannot be explained for natural reasons. We're in a temporary building that was meant to be moved away. on cement blocks. We started in an elementary school, actually in someone's home, and then in an elementary school. We have a roof that is, I won't even tell you what the roof is like because I don't want to confess negative things. So, but here we are almost 30 years later because God has wrapped his arms around Catalyst Community Church. Hallelujah. Because God. And it sometimes seems impossible. I can do the impossible. Because if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And I love the commendation that God gives to Mary through Elizabeth, her cousin. He says, blessed is she who has believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. I want you to think about this morning. I want to say this to you. Blessed are you who believe there will be a fulfillment in all the areas where you're struggling with fear. I'm prophesying right now to you. Wherever you think this is not going to change, wherever you think we've come to the end of our rope, wherever you think I can't tolerate this anymore, wherever you think this will never change, God says, don't be afraid. Blessed are you who believe that there will be a fulfillment of what God has promised you. Now give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed is she who believed. There will be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I've got two more real quick, all right? Joseph, another important part of the story of Christmas, Mary's husband. Now, he's about to divorce his wife because his wife comes to him and says, honey, you're not going to believe this. The strangest thing happened. I saw an angel, and now I'm pregnant. It's like, and I can picture Joseph like scratching his head and saying, okay, I'm going to need to think about this. This is a little unusual. Put it another way, this is out of my comfort zone. Has God ever put you into an uncomfortable situation? Uncomfortable. Lord, I'm pregnant? What are people going to think? What are people going to say? This doesn't make sense. God, if this is how you're blessing me, I'm so embarrassed. So Joseph, being a good red-blooded Galilean that he was, needed an angelic visitation. And so God's angel comes to Joseph, Matthew 1:20. But after he had considered divorcing his wife, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. See, when man comes to his extremity, to the end of his resources, God still has the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Lord, I pray for abundance, Lord. I pray, Lord, for people who have been waiting, oh God. God, that you would open the windows of heaven. Lord, that you will shift the season, Lord. There will be a shift in the season, oh God. Hallelujah. For somebody who's been faithful. For somebody who's out of the comfort zone, Lord. For somebody who has held on to your promises, Lord, with all their heart, Lord. Let them see the reward of their faith. I declare it now in Jesus' name that there shall be a performance of that which was promised in Jesus' name. What we learned from Joseph is don't be afraid. God can work when you're uncomfortable. God is working at all times. Philippians 2:13, for God is at work both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. He that began a good work in you shall perform it until the day that Jesus comes. And finally, we come back to the shepherds. The shepherds were the first ones we talked about. And they also were startled and afraid. And the angel said to them, as you know, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, because unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. What I learned from the shepherds is that God can use the most unlikely people to broadcast his message. Hallelujah. Because as some of you who study this, you know that the shepherd's testimony was not accepted in a court of law in those days. In other words, if you were a shepherd, they just didn't even trust you. So you couldn't even be a witness in a legal case. But here God uses the outcasts of society to start a revolution. Hallelujah. If God could use those shepherds, guess what? He can use you. Hallelujah. If God can use them, he can use me. Hallelujah. Because here's what it says. It says, when they had seen him, when they came and saw Jesus in the manger, they spread the word concerning what had been told about the child. Can you spread the word about Jesus? You may say, I'm not a theologian. I'm just a shepherd. Come on now. But can you tell somebody what Jesus has done for you? Can you share your story with somebody? Can you start a conversation about Christ and say, you know what, friend, I have to tell you, my life has changed. Since God has been in my life, I'm not the same. Jesus means the world to me. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Hallelujah. But the wicked flee when nobody is chasing them. If you're a righteous person today, not because you're perfect, but because you're covered by the blood of Jesus, you can be as bold as a lion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God didn't call you to be a wimp. Somebody say amen. Somebody said that if you properly fear God, you can be fearless of all else. If you have the proper respect for God, you don't have to be afraid of anything else. Just fear the Lord. Just fear the Lord. Respect him, and God will have your back. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Give him some shouting. Hallelujah. Give him some praises. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord spoke to me very clearly, and I'm glad we have time today to do this. He said, I want you to lay hands on people and release them from fear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to lay hands on some people and release them from fear. Hallelujah. And so we're going to ask a few of our prayer team to come up in just a moment. And whatever it may be in your life, you may feel inadequate like those shepherds, but you cannot deny what you've seen. It's like the man who was healed of the blindness. He says, whether he's a good man or not, all I know is I was blind and now I can see. Like the man who was carrying his mat. Why are you carrying your mat on the Sabbath? Well, I was crippled, but now I'm walking. And the man who healed me told me to carry my mat. So come on now. See, you don't have to be a genius to follow God. You just got to have the right heart. Are you with me this morning? But I felt specifically that some people here need to come into agreement with one of our prayer warriors and release. Fear has been encroaching, whether it's at night or in the day, whether it's about your health or the finances or about relationships or feeling like you're a failure, whatever it is you're struggling with. I believe God is saying to you today, fear not. Everybody say, fear not. The Lord is with you. Fear not. He is your God. Hallelujah. I want to say this word to you from Isaiah 43:41. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Take that promise. Take that promise. Take that promise today.